for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be in a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got plenty here of the fish flying about there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
A really, really good goal. You can't make it straight for that.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the DN35 podcast. It's great to have you along. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been about, but we want to start, obviously, as we should do, with remembering Cameron and Dave Walsh, who obviously we all know sadly passed away a couple of weeks ago. I just want to say that the club, you know, did a great service in remembering them, and everybody did their part. It's in a tragic circumstance, and our thoughts go out to everyone affected through this, you know, tragedy. But one thing that I wanted to really, you know, pay highlight to is how the local community came together during that incident. Just looking at the over £50,000 raised in the crowdfunder at the moment, and we'll put a link into the podcast as well if you want to donate to that. But just looking through the list of local clubs that donated to it was just something that I thought was quite inspiring. You know, I just looked through the list: Discovery Rangers, Cleetown Owls, Grimsby Borough, Discovery Fremo Fireworks, even the scouting team at Leicester City, Discovery Rovers, Cleetown Juniors, Discovery Phoenix, Discovery All-Stars, Waltham FC, Millfield FC, the Grimsby Town Travel Club, Catanaccio under 14s. You know, it was an incredible effort, and we will put the details down in the site as well. But it looked a pretty moving moment yesterday when we did the minutes applause for what was a guy taken far too soon. And our thoughts to everybody with their families and their friends at this moment. I don't know if anybody else wants to say anything, but, you know, it's been around for a while. So, yeah,
Just one little thing, Alex. I think, you know, very well said, mate. I mean, everybody here, thoughts for the family. And I just hope that, you know, can't imagine what they're going through, but hope at some point the family may take some strength in the amount of town fans and the community as a whole that are all feeling their grief as well. You know, it might not help now, but hopefully over some time, the amount of people that really are thinking about them at this time, I hope they take a little bit of strength from that.
And I hope you don't mind if we, you know, do a one show style, you know, segue and start talking about what was a pretty incredible match yesterday. But if you do have any comments, do feel free to leave them down there, because we've got one hell of a game to discuss. The negatives amongst us would say Town have conceded 11 goals in two games. But when your team, when you're involved in a 5-10 goal thriller, I don't think there is much to say other than we've got a season in which I would imagine our hope is now mid-table obscurity. We're out of the cups. There's no historic cup run coming. That might well be the highlight and the entertainment of our season. I am going to take a very back seat because I was out in London not watching it because, you know, what was I going to miss? But how wrong I was. Hannah has one of the best seats in the house, and she was visible for most of it. What were your thoughts on it? You know, you got quite a front row seat for a lot of those, a lot of the goals, or at least half of them.
Yeah, it was, unexpected. We were walking to the game and we actually said we'd be quite happy with a 0-0. You know, just nice clean sheet, and obviously Notts County are a good team, so we weren't expecting to win, but we did have high hopes because we thought Artel would have, you know, done some serious talking to the team after the last result. It was, you know, from a neutral point of view, a fantastic game. And actually, you know, it did highlight the weakness in our squad. Their goals all came from one side of the pitch. So you could look at the rest of our players and say how vastly they've improved. And perhaps it's quite easy to fix the remaining problem. at least from my point of view anyway. But yeah, I think Clifton back on form, and that's wonderful to see. I thought Vernon, you know, he seemed like the old Vernon, which is very pleasing considering he's only just come back. And yeah, you know, it's hard to pick players out because there was a lot of players for Town that had great games. So very happy, but we need to sort the defence.
Just a little bit. Mike, you were watching it from the from your comfort of your home, like the shill you are.
Bordeaux.
But you got, yeah, exactly. Sorry, but in Bordeaux. Exactly how was the wine and how many bottles did you get through when Notts County inevitably took the lead with night? I had a message from my friend and yours, Matt Dannett, who said, I wonder when Notts County are going to score the winner. And he goes, I'm going with the 92nd minute. And I just look at, you weren't too far off. The story I had, though, was I got on the train at Warwick Avenue, you know, doing my best Duffy impression, and we were 2-0 up. And I got off at Waterloo and it was 2-2. I had no idea what was going on. But what was your opinion?
I mean, I got the same message from Matt, and I messaged him straight back after saying, well done, with some stronger words as well on the end of that, you know, tempting fate. You know, it's an odd one, isn't it? Because, I mean, I put something up when we went 5-4 down, and I reflected on it, maybe deleted it because I thought I was a bit harsh. But it's incredible what one goal, how that changes the narrative and your feelings on it. Because when we went 5-4 down, I was fuming, absolutely fuming, fuming with the defence, fuming with everything. And then we nick a goal at the end. And then you start to be a bit more optimistic about it. I think at the end of the day, a game like that, 5-5, it's difficult to really drill down onto too much because it's just bonkers, you know, so you can't really explain the insanity of it. It's a basketball game on a football pitch. I look at 2-0 up and then going in at halftime 2-2. I said I thought there was an air of inevitability about it with the way our character and sort of the narrative is going about us not being able to hold on to leads. I just thought, you know, that's it. You know, we've thrown it away again at halftime. It's going to be a difficult mindset for them to get out. But full credit to them and David Artell because they came out second half and just kept going. Every time they got knocked back, they kept going again and getting another goal. If I look around the team, I think everybody had a good game and was impressive other than a specific area of the pitch, which Hannah's just talked about. And I think that is similar to what we've discussed the last few weeks. That's a massive problem. But reflecting on it today, I take a more of a positive view. I don't think there is many teams that are as good attackingly in the attacking third as Notts County.
And he's finished. Has he gone for you or is it just me?
I'm back now.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, he's back.
Hello.
Yeah.
So what was I saying?
You tell me.
I was a bit more positive reviewing it today because I don't think there's many teams as good as Notts County going forward. So if we can improve that defence and continue to be as good as we have shown in parts going forward, I think there's a lot of teams that can't live with us. So I've sort of taken that view that, you know, I don't mind conceding 5 if we're scoring 5 or 6, but I would rather we didn't do it every week because I needed a bit of a lie down. But it was a thoroughly enjoyable game. And I think when you witness something like that, you've just really got to hold your hands up and say, could have won, could have lost, but just enjoy it and say you took a point from an enthralling game.
For the first time ever at a home game, I had to buy a drink on the way home because I had no voice. So that's a good thing.
What was the drink of choice?
I believe it was a Dr. Pepper. But yeah, it was, you know, atmosphere was phenomenal. So it's great to see Blundell Park rocking again. And obviously Notts County did contribute to that. And it's always nice to see a crowd from the away end. So yeah, very pleasing.
What did you make of it from your side, Sam? He's looking confused. He's still looking confused.
He's absolutely speechless.
That's great. You know, it's
somebody write down when this happens. We've got a log of it because I never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Is he still with us?
No, well, he never has been.
Sam, are you there?
He's worked out how to unmute it. The unmute mic signal went. He's got my microphone there that I, you know, got him. It's ready to go. His old private chat's come in. I can't hear.
Do you know what he's going to say? I'll tell you what he's going to say. He's going to say, we would have never conceded 5 goals under Paul Hurst. That's the first thing point he's going to make.
Right, okay, yeah. Right, let's play a bit of Sam Bingo, shall we, while you can't hear. So we wouldn't have conceded 5 under Hurst. If Michy Ifeti had played, he'd have been getting absolute bollocking.
Yeah.
Are you back? Any others while he's going?
He'll probably say something about the team mentality and say they're weak. He'll say the word shit quite a lot.
Yeah. Is he back?
I can hear you now. I've changed.
Good. Right. Go. What were your thoughts on yesterday? What was, you know, an incredibly entertaining
game? Well, my first thought was that was only the second home game I'd missed all season. Just my luck that I happened to pick that one. The second point, I'd echo what the guy said already, really. I mean, it is difficult. I mean, I felt sorry for Arteta after the game, having to do an interview to try and kind of make sense of the madness that we all witnessed. We can talk to death about the kind of the issue of the right-hand side of the defence. I mean, we've kind of been over that before, haven't we, about Malarkey's strengths going forward. You saw the ball he put in for Issa's goal, but then the inadequacies thereafter, defensively. Personally, I think with Glennon and Malarkey, you can't have one, both of them. You need one or the other. They're both better going forward than they are defensively. Midfield and wingers aren't good enough. You can't have people in multiple positions. I've been saying for a few weeks that I think Harvey Rodgers is maybe okay, but needs a better partner or a better or better right back alongside him. I'm kind of at the point of making my mind up with him, really. What he did for the fifth goal was atrocious. But given the side has been criticised for being mentally weak all season, the way we kept going and then came back at the end was kind of really kind of positive to see that going forward, perhaps going to be more resilient and more less susceptible to kind of capitulation. But the reality is, you can be as mentally strong as you like. We're not good enough defensively. Well, going forward, we're amazing. I mean, I tweeted this morning that if you had the forwards on the number of goals they are currently under a normal season, with a Hurst assembled squad, we'd be laughing. But we're not, because the defence is so poor.
I might be cheating here. Do you think the defence, you know, because it's Paul Hurst's defence, effectively, do you think there would have been set up any different yesterday? I mean, you would have conceded 5, I guess, because we still had those defensive frailties, didn't we?
Whether we kind of Hurst would set up his side to be inherently more conservative and Malarkey wouldn't be bombing forward to quite the same extent as he would under Hurst, I don't know. But I put a tweet out last night saying we've conceded 6 and 5 in consecutive games. That never happened under Hurst. Got a lot of pushback against that one. But would we have scored 5? Oh, what were you saying when I wasn't there?
I'm really sorry. We were playing Barrack Bingo.
We were guessing what you were going to say when you couldn't hear us. So we had a sweepstake on what points you'd make. I think we've got 3.
But I feel like we cheated on that one because I led him down the path, basically.
You asked me a question about Hurst.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It was cheating, if anything. But, you know, I'm taking it. We've won 6 games all season. I'm taking the win.
I do agree with what you say about the fullback areas. I think that's, especially the right side, is becoming a big problem. I think what all of the goals, all by one yesterday and a good few of them the couple of weeks ago, are all coming from that area. And the big problem we've got is we just can't stop a cross going in the box. And when we do, we just can't deal with it. You know, ball's going between the keeper and the centre half or going over the top and nobody's heading it. It's just, you know, you can't do that. So I think we do need to tighten up a little bit in that right back area. What I would say though, you know, hitting about Glennon, is I think since he's come back into the side, whilst he's not, you know, a Premier League defender, I think he has tightened up quite a bit from where he was before. So in terms of Malarkey, you need him to offer that going forward, but he also needs to work on his defensive job. But what does confuse me is why we keep playing him at right back when he said himself a couple of weeks ago he's never played as a right back before he came here.
Because his biggest upside is his delivery into the box, and you can't The ball he puts in for Abbey, there was a great ball he put in at Bradford earlier in the season. I think he put in the ball for Danny Rose against Crewe in December. That was the highlight this season. So I think
he's put some good balls in, Sam, but I think it's a small percentage of the amount of opportunities he's got. You know, if I compare him to Glennon on the other side, most of Glennon's deliveries in open play are dangerous. Malarkey gets one every couple of games. So I'm less concerned about what we're doing going forward on the right. You know, if we're conceding four goals in a game because we're defensively naive in the right back position, the right centre back position, that's an issue. You know, you just can't keep doing that.
What I would say, though, is we're not going to face balls in the box from the quality that Jody Jones delivered yesterday very often either.
That's very true.
Punished in the same way that, every single one was just fantastic. I'd love to know what they were paying him and McGoldrick because they're way beyond this level. I mean, Langstaff, he's absolutely the sort of player who's just 30 goals a season and does bugger all else. But I could have finished it from where he was.
McGoldrick offside for the first goal?
Looked it, yeah.
I'm not sure Charles Vernon was offside when he was bursting through one-on-one when it was 2-0 either.
And that's where I was at half-time. I was really pissed off because I thought we've had two offside decisions there not go our way. And I think the different, you know, he's a bit rusty, but you'd think that chance he may slot it through and then you're 3-0 up as opposed to going in 2-2. So I was a bit, and I'd forgotten all about that until you mentioned it, but that was where I was at half-time, a bit annoyed with that. What I would say, though, about the decisions is I thought some of the decisions were poor, but the ref let the game flow very well. He wasn't stopping it. He was letting it go, which I think contributed to a really good game as well.
It was one of those rare games when the ref seemed to favour us more, and that doesn't often happen. We're normally the ones moaning, but actually, if you look from County's point of view, they probably would have good reason to moan about the ref.
Yeah, I think we'd be moaning that he gave us everything and them nothing if you were them. But there were plenty of instances where he could have blown up for a foul by them and didn't. And I think it was for the way the game was allowed to flow was a fundamental aspect. You wouldn't have got a five. You never get 5-5 with stop game. It was a way. We talk about comparisons to the Wrexham game. It was a far more end to end game than that. I mean, it could have finished 10-10 yesterday with the chances that were created by both sides. We could certainly have scored a shed load more goals.
Could you imagine Trevor Kettle refereeing that? He'd have to have a 20-minute break at half time, you know, halfway through the second half or something, wouldn't he?
Do we have him next week against Harrogate? Because that's when we usually get him.
I think he retired about three decades ago, or he should have done.
It doesn't matter who we get at Harrogate next week. I don't really know why I'm going. Our record there is appalling. Our record against Harrogate is shocking.
We've only played them a few times. Let's not worry too much. So I'll just go through some of the things that people have been putting out. Grimbo says Toby Malarkey needs to stick to TikTok full time because he's shit at football. It's a slight bit harsh, but Toby Malarkey did announce our first signing and the fifth goal scorer of Saturday when he accidentally put Harry Wood in the background of his TikTok training in the training in Cheapside.
It's a strike, by the way. He caught it deliciously, didn't he? He hit it so sweetly. Which is amazing for the lot.
Yeah, absolutely. What else we got here? So Andrew Matthews says, evening, guys and gals. A wonderful tribute at the game and 5-5 goal fest is a fitting story for the day. Andrew Niles says, all of the blame seems to be coming the way of Malarkey and Rogers, but the goalie could have done better with some of the goals poked in inside his 6-yard box. Grimbo says, I'd love to know how much long stuff McGoldrick and Crowley and Jones are on a week because the attacking constantly gets the defence out of trouble. Stephen McDade said, evening all, what an entertaining, brilliant game, but I was fuming with the way we defended crosses. How can we not learn our lessons during the game? Stephen Tappin, which is what McGoldrick's nickname is, Hurst-like team in the National League. Andrew Matthews says Rogers is getting a few pelters, but he's on a 3-year deal. Can he improve, or do we need to shift him in the summer? And Simon Hodson says 4 of the goals we conceded were basically the same goal, so we only have one problem to fix.
Nishi Ifeti, he is the answer to the problem.
Nice, do I think the answer to the question is?
That is bingo. Well done, mate. Yeah. It's Hannah wins.
Was Mishi one of the predictions that you'd said?
Yeah, it was the first prediction. Of course it was.
To be fair, he's not featured in the past two games, has he?
And all rumours suggest that him and a couple of other players have, you know, been told they can go elsewhere.
On the Rodgers thing, I would say, and I think I've said this before, that I'm always a little bit cautious to write centre-backs off after Rob Jones. So I don't know whether we write him off now or we take him out the side and see when he comes again. Sorry, Alex.
No, it's all right. I was interrupting you because look at Luke Waterfall. You know, how many of us wanted him out and were you know, hissing at Holloway for giving him a year's extension when we got relegated? And he was, you know, instrumental in getting us back in, but maybe he'd found his level.
Well, me and you had that argument in the close season that year, didn't we? You know, when we gave him the other deal, me and you were having that very debate when we went down to the National League.
I always thought he was scapegoated to the extent he wasn't good by any stretch in the relegation season, but he wasn't half as bad as some people made him out to be. I think it's because he played for Scunthorpe and Lincoln, and therefore people sometimes have a kind of prejudice against that.
Yeah, I think we're forgetting as well. I mean, I've been critical of Rodgers, but actually he started this season quite well. And he was one that I particularly said impressed me. So perhaps there is a player back in there that will come back good. But it could just be that him and the fullback pairing, whether it's FT or Malarkey, hasn't worked. And he maybe needs someone a bit quicker, sort of who can close down and come back quicker if they're going forwards, which neither FT or Malarkey seem to do well.
Yeah, I think you're right, Hannah. You know, there's an argument that if your closest sort of relationship on a field that, you know, you rely on, which is the right back as a right centre back, if there's a problem there, then you have to say, is that contributing? So I think you're probably right there. I think it's either a case of, you know, we bring somebody else in, or we take him out the side for a bit and see what he's like when things settle down. Or possibly try a three at the back and say to Malarkey and Glennon, right, you've got much more of a license to get up there now because you've got a covering sort of centre back of a three there. And I don't know if that might be where he looks. Or if he tries that next, I don't know. I don't know if he's had any history of playing with wing backs.
Or if you try three at the back, is Malarkey one that you'd put in instead of him? Get a new right back.
Get a new right wing back.
One thing I saw yesterday was there was quite an interesting piece from a couple of stat guys who were showing the average position of every player on the pitch. Notts County basically had three at the back and we were just left with two, the two centre-backs, and both wing-backs were, you know, high and far up. And it's one of those things I think Sam alluded to earlier, when one goes, the other has to stay because they're just so vulnerable. And quite a few of the game, I don't think this, you know, Conte had an incredible game from what people are saying yesterday, but I don't think him or whoever is, you know, affected is giving the defence the cover they need at times. We saw that with the first goal where it was a bit of head tennis and kind of bumbled away from everyone. But that's been the story of the season rather than anything else.
I wonder where the happy medium is between, because obviously
that's where the tweaking is, isn't it? Where is it?
You look at before Hurst left, you know, the side was scoring all right and doing all right, but it was not performing this well going forward as it has done over the last couple of weeks. And I don't think there's any changes to the forward line. It's just how they're playing. So it's finding that happy medium, which I think is you can see is what he's doing, and trying to find out where the line is for those fullbacks. But one thing that surprised me with that stat I saw that you were talking about, Alex, is that Malarkey was a hell of a lot further forward than Glennon, and I'd never have thought that unless I'd seen it on paper, because I always think Glennon just get up every single time. But
you're going to think I'm mad for this comparison, but it reminds me actually yesterday of watching Liverpool in about 2016-17, when Klopp had first come in and he was very clear what he wanted to do with them, and then they
I was just putting Hannah up for her quizzical look at that rather than making her do some sort of weird...
How I would have read it if I was Hannah was you would try to embarrass her by making her eat a full screen. That's how that came across.
Isn't that mukbanging or whatever the kids call it, where they just sit and watch people eat on live stream? But no, it was more Hannah's... Apparently, yeah.
Can we monetize this?
We can try.
We can make money out of anything if we try. But then the way that kind of they were so clear what they wanted to do, but he didn't have the players to do it. And they used to get involved in 4-3 wins and 5-4 losses and so on. And then eventually signed some better players and became one of the best sides in the world. Now, of course, we're not going to turn into Liverpool, but we
thank
are
God
going
for that.
To...
Jesus, could you imagine the whinging?
Could you imagine the win? Like Town fans don't moan is it anyway. But it's clear. This is what I like about Arteta. It's clear what he wants to do. It's clear what his and you can already see the effects of it already. So if he just signs some better players to go along with that, who are better suited to his way of football, I could see it being very, very, very successful at this level. But in the meantime, there are going to be some issues.
The only team I keep thinking of is Newcastle 96-97, and I'm not sure anyone wants that.
I don't know, because before this, I mean, I'm not talking about anybody here, but I mean, just in general, a lot of the talk was, you know, we want some entertaining football. Well, you know, you've got it, and this is what sometimes happens when you get it. I mean, from my point of view, I agree with Sam. It's going to be a season of him just trying to find that way. And I'm from the sort of thought process that, you know, we win one, we lose one, we draw one. This sort of what we're doing with him at the minute. And, you know, touch wood, and I might look an idiot, but I think he's right. There's no danger of us going to go down on that sort of form. So I'm all for him trying to have a look and work it out. You know, in this window, there might be one or two that we want permanently, but there's going to be a little bit of, and we'll talk about the window soon, I'm sure, but there's going to be a little bit of moving people out that aren't part of your plans and bringing in loanees that can maybe hold that ground until we get into the summer to bring who we want in. So some interesting times in the window and for the rest of the season. And I think we'll see the experimentation the drive to try and find where we want to be continue. But I'm all for it if it produces, you know, games where it's 5-5 and stuff.
We will get better, and the owners will back him. It's they've signed a player on a 2.5-year contract and paid a fee already, so they'll be happy to take the kind of bumps in the road and struggle and iffy results and so on. So it would concern you more, wouldn't it, if we were just basically repeating what Hurst got sacked for, essentially?
I might have missed. I missed half of that. What do you mean? It's the same as what Paul Hurst got sacked for?
Look, what we don't want. So he's come in, and we're producing a similar set of results, aren't we? Really, maybe winning a couple more games, the odd more game. But the football is way better. If we were still producing the same turgid style that Hurst was serving up in his final days, did you hear that? That was a criticism of Hurst. it would be an issue, but because of the clear sense of direction and identity is very kind of promising. So do you think we'll all, if we could sign, say, two more players this window, what do we think?
Yeah,
sorry, I was just trying to tell Mike to stop breathing into the mic. He sounds like a sex offender.
He told me to stop breathing. I was gonna say I can't quite manage that.
I said, pull your mic up a bit. That was all. Because it was under your nose and all you can hear
is... That wasn't me. I forgot...
What are you wearing?
Yeah. I think, as I said, when Arteta came in, he's going to carry a lot more credit in the bank with the way we're playing. You know, even if he gets the same results as Paul Hurst, you know, we're seeing entertaining football and we're seeing a plan. There is a plan. We might not be achieving it, but I can sit there and watch us play football and see, right, I can see what he's trying to do. It's just not working. I'm all for it. I mean, in terms of how many more we bring in the window, I think another centre-back is probably absolutely vital. Outside of that, a right-back as well. And then other than those two, I think everything else is not as important, because I think we're all right everywhere else. It depends who we ship out and who becomes available. I'm sure their main goal will to be get to the summer to have a concerted effort at first at targets they want to get. But if somebody crops up in terms of a permanent signing this window, then they'll go for them. But I think just the right back and the right side of centre back is probably the only area we need to invest
in. Really good kick on higher up the division. I know exactly what you mean. Higher up the division, we're going to need better midfielders than we've got currently as well. But that's not an issue in the meantime, I think, is basically what you're getting at.
And I think you've got to look at in the next sort of 10 games that are coming up, we're playing six teams around us. So he's got a pretty useful set of fixtures. Harrogate, you know, everyone sort of you know, disparages Harrogate given the size of the club, but they're ninth in the league. I don't really expect much. I'll be happy with a point coming away from that, to be perfectly honest. Then you're looking at the games we've got after that. We've got a couple of, you know, wrong ones in there in terms of Stockport and alike. But, you know, we've got Donny, Morecambe, Colchester, Tranmere, all teams, Forest Green, Sutton, all teams of which, you know, are around us in the next 10. So he's got an opportunity to change it. The problem we have at the moment is in the league table is I don't think we are at threat of going down, but what we are is we're also not in that, you know, peloton of main clubs. If we can get to the same amount of points that Newport do, you have that random, you know, opportunity where you can start climbing and you can actually start falling, actually, obviously, quite quickly through the table because it's really compact. What is it? What? 34 points for Newport County. You know, you're only 9 points off Notts County and six. You know,
it looks worse than it is, isn't it? That's, you know, the position looks worse than what it actually is when you look at the points.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. I think our position is pretty poor because Newport County, you know, 34 points. We're some way off that. We're sort of, you know, we're 6 points behind that. So that is, I am disappointed in that. And I think, you know, if we can, over these next six games, pull ourselves into that peloton, our final league position can be, I wouldn't say, you know, false and, you know, a little bit, you know, putting a little bit of sparkle on what the season was as a whole, but we could find ourselves higher than we expect ourselves to be now. But you know, we've got to stop losing 6-1 and, you know, work out how to sort out the fucking right defensive area.
Meaning by that, mate, was that, you know, I just read today that Harrogate, you were below us not too long ago. They've won a couple of games and look where they are now, you know. So yes, we are where we are, but it's not like we're 15 points from the top half and 2 points from the relegation. There is quite a difference from actual league position towards points and where those put us in the table, if you know what I mean.
Plus, Forest Green and Salford, particularly for Salford, what we've seen, are so bad that there is no risk of them overtaking us.
Did anyone hear that Troy Deeney interview where he absolutely,
I've not heard it.
I was going to go to Hannah because she was nodding, but she's still muck banging over there. Please tell. I've got to find out if that's a word because it sounds disgusting otherwise.
Well, when you do, clear your internet browser search afterwards, yeah?
Mike McMahon wants to know what muckbanging is. What is the meaning of mukbanging? Mukbanging is similar as a live stream video where viewers watch the host eat. Mukbang is characterized by copious amounts of food consumed during the stream. Okay, so you're not eating a banquet.
No, I'm finished now. Just got a cup of tea to go, and that's me done.
It's just like, so it's like dogging for food. Is that the...
No, why did you go there?
Why does your head go to dogging?
Playing games, Sam. You know, people play games on Twitch and YouTube. Maybe it more like that.
Dogging, you see where his head goes to.
There he goes, where the front bench goes, doesn't it? Right, anyway... Let's have a look.
Alex Bingo. Can we play Alex Bingo next week? He's taking him 33 minutes this week.
I think that's pretty good. She's no eating chappy, mate. I don't know what that means, Ben. I'm really sorry. Someone says, Steve, so a couple of things on Danny Rose actually coming in. Andrew Matthews, I thought Danny Rose was immense yesterday. He looked really pissed off to be subbed. I don't know if any of you guys want to take up that one. And then Steve Tapping comes off. If someone comes in for Rose, do we sell him? We absolutely do not. There are two types of football fan in football. One that have a decent striker and are terrified of losing him. And the other set want a striker and can't find him. That's it. That's how you can divide every football fan into two classes.
I would say as well, with his age 31 now, and he's not had a massively prolific record at this level, even though we can maybe appreciate what he does more in the round, having watched him, I don't think we're in any danger of somebody coming in and putting stupid money on the table for a 31-year-old that, you know, has had half a decent season. I think he's absolutely vital and key to what we're trying to do. I think he's one of the best strikers we've had all round game for a long time. Just how he can do everything. He can, you know, at Newport, he didn't have a sniff and then got a little half a chance, scored a goal, or he can lead the line, run the channels, hold the ball up, and he's not got a problem doing that. He'll run all day and give you absolutely everything. And I think it's quite nice to see that. He'd run his backside off yesterday. We need a goal to win, and he's pissed off with coming off. You know, so I don't mind that. I want my football players to be wanting to play football.
I didn't realise how good a player he was until about last 2 or 3 months, really. I mean, I don't really know how I've managed to get him, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a yard, if at a yard of pace, he would be the complete striker. I mean, he can do everything. He can mix it. He can score. He can lay it off. Again, what, there's something amusing there.
You missed the strap line that came up, Sam.
Is that?
You're not meant to stop, Sam.
I'm just having a look through the League Two table to see where we are, because we've actually only scored 40 goals this season, which is, you know, pretty impressive. But I'm looking, Gillingham in eighth have scored. Does anyone want to have a guess how many goals Gillingham have scored, who currently sit eighth?
24.
Okay, well, you're all looked at the fucking league table then. They're on 23.
No, I looked at it a few weeks ago and knew it was really low. Because
that's ridiculous.
Remember the start of the season? They had 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Yeah, and they were...
They looked rubbish when we beat them, didn't we, if you remember, on that.
Danny Rose is actually quite far down the top scorers table. It's a league of very good scorers this season. And he's, I think he was 16th or something like that. But obviously there'll be a lot on the same number as him. But yeah, he's on 10 in the league, and Notts County guy's on 20. So
I think I worked out last week he was a goal every 1.5 games, which in this division, if you have somebody doing that, you know, you're laughing.
Scored as many as Paul Mullin.
Yeah, he has.
And he's not as much as a dick.
He's not much of a dick.
He is a shithouse, but we love that.
But Mullin was out for half the season. So Mullin will end up with more goals than Rose.
Let me have a look, see if I can do it. In fact, so yeah, goals per 90, Mullin 0.60. So he's played, not too many more, actually. And then who else have we got? We've got no one else in the league, but we've got quite a few, like in terms of Town. I haven't known this many goal scorers in, you know, Aberystwyth is on 8. You know, we used to get to 10, and that would be, you know, top goal scorers for us at times. So
if you look at Wilson and... Sorry, mate. If you look at Wilson and Pike's goals per minute as well, that's really impressive. We've just not been able to get them playing.
Yeah, Donovan Wilson, yeah, get him fit for the rest of the season. We'll finish way higher up the league. He's a really good player.
We might need to...
It's not as impressive as Harry Wood.
Are you talking about the comment there, Hannah? Or...
No. Goals per minute.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Did he even get another touch after that? Because I want to, you know, touch per goal would be amazing. One touch, one goal.
I think he must have had another touch since then.
I would hope
he was only on, what, 6-7 minutes, something like that?
I don't like to break the story, but he did have a touch before he scored. He was involved in the foul. I think he had possession of the ball during the foul or made the pass before the foul.
Why are you ruining this for everybody?
I'm a Yorkshireman. I don't like seeing people being happy just generally.
But he's Yorkshireman, isn't he?
Especially other Yorkshiremen. Oh, especially ones from Leeds. So
Danny Rose is from Barnsley, isn't he?
Well, Harry Wood isn't. Harry Wood's from Leeds.
It's all Yorkshire. It doesn't matter. It's all the same place.
You're all dancing for money. I was born in Yorkshire, mate. I'm not a Yorkie.
Grimbo says Danny Rose is also the best looking footballer we've ever had. I think Danny Butterfield might take you up on that. Oh, Hannah's disagreeing. I won't go into it. I won't get a top five out of everybody. But if everybody else
is... Chris Doig.
Who?
Chris Doig.
He didn't play, though.
He's such a good-looking guy. He did play.
He did. He scored a winner at Gateshead one afternoon.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He only got the assistant manager's job when something happened that we can't allegedly say, and then we got rid of Rob Scott.
Tim Hubbard says, and I think you've been a bit harsher on Langstaff, Tim. Langstaff disappointed me with his goal celebration in front of the pontoon, knowing what an emotionally charged occasion it was. He showed no class. I don't expect him to know the full story about, you know, what's going on. But footballers give shit.
He's not going to be thinking about that when he scores. He's not going to be thinking about that when he scores, is he? I don't think you can hold that against him.
I would say as well, I bet by the sound of it, he got some absolute pelters, which is what he was giving back. So, you know, I think Notts County were fantastic before and were really good in their side of things before the game. And I think when the game of football starts, you play the game of football.
It's not the least classless thing I've ever seen. If anybody remembers when Lee Hughes scored in front of the pontoon for Notts County, way back when, that was probably a little bit more classless. Yeah, he was doing a driving motion when he was dancing. So yeah, it's probably a little bit. Yeah. I don't know if anybody else remembers that. Please tell me they do, unless I've just indelibly marked that in my mind. Bruce, who isn't on the podcast today, says our fans were giving shit, can't be selective.
Just agree, said that, Bruce.
He's desperate, isn't he? Let's talk about the three signings. You know, Harry Wood made a mark, you know, one touch, one goal, whatever Mike says. You know, the Coventry team wanted to know how Obikuwu, apologies, I've murdered that, Obikuwu scored, how he did.
The young lad up front, shall we?
Yeah.
Is it Joshua? Young lad up front.
I don't know. I haven't really looked into it all.
To be honest, didn't really. I think he touched the ball a couple of times, but he was barely on to.
Well behind Harry Wood then.
He did have half a chance towards the end, actually. He got a nice through ball from Wilson and just ran out of room.
Of course, the save, didn't he? I saw somebody on the fish, he said that has already decided that he's lazy.
That's like Sam Andrews, though.
I'm not having that comparison.
Who was the one I took an immediate dislike to? Dominic Vos. I immediately said he was lazy, but I think he just had a lazy running style and was a little lazy.
You said Raquel Pike was lazy as well. He's another one with a languid running style.
Yeah, maybe I've got to look at running styles and check my gates before I start throwing this out there.
I thought it was funny for any number of levels, really, that we've already that someone had decided that he was already lazy. I mean,
how long did he play yesterday?
Well, I think that's I'm not going to get
10 minutes.
Long enough. You can make that the sort of definitive opinion on 10 minutes. That's fine.
Yeah.
Completely understandable.
Should never play again.
It probably wouldn't have even taken him 10 minutes is my gut feeling, but hey ho.
Just in terms of the transfers, it was quite interesting to get three in one go, and you know, two of them nobody had even would not heard anything about, had we? You know, sometimes you hear things.
Do you think they were holding them back given the week?
Absolutely, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The benefit you don't want to, notwithstanding that, of course, but we've done this for years, haven't we? Announced players. Well, you announced, didn't you, Alex, Mikey O'Neill signing on the bus at Swindon last year, if you remember.
I did. So, breaking stories here at DN35 and on Toby Malarkey's TikTok. Do I have a breaking news story? Hang on.
Come back to Bilingo Watch now, aren't we?
There's no music, though. Why is there no music?
You've broken the podcast.
One other thing about the signings I found interesting is everybody been banging on about, oh, we've got no money, we won't be bringing anybody in, and yet we managed to sign a player on a 2.5-year deal from a league above. Now, probably not paying massive money, but goes to show how inaccurate some people are when they start to say that, you know, people, we won't have any money to spend. I mean, we remember what Andrew said at the fans forum, but I think we're going to want to trim the wage budget. Of course we are, because that's just good business sense, but there's a difference between having to move people out before you can bring somebody in, or bringing people in with the view to then trimming the wage budget after. That's two completely different things. And I think sometimes you just need to take a chill.
Dare I say it's maybe a little bit of inexperience on our owner's part. Well, that one time when Jason said all the money is going to be pumped into the playing budget, and I don't think they've worked out a median yet. I'm going to mute him. Then we've gone the full the other hog and gone, we've got no money. I think we might still need to be finding our level. It's the same with attack and defence.
Because I think we touched on this last week, and I think I had an argument with somebody online the other day. I mean, you know, you look round, you can hear what you say, but, you know, you can't say there isn't money and there hasn't been investment when you're talking about transfers or anything else. You just look around the entire club and, you know, you might not see the results of it on the pitch all the time, but there's massive amounts of investment from coaching staff to, you know, psychologists, people in the youth team. There's just everywhere's investment. So I just don't get it. I don't get this inherent want to always run people down and say they're not going to spend any money.
I can understand why we've got no money if we're spending it all on that stuff.
No, you know what I mean? It's not as if they're penny pinching. They know they want to spend to progress, but in the right places at the right time.
No, you can't imagine they'd change a player's contract as he's driving to the ground on Christmas Eve to sign, can you? For example.
Well, no, not downwards anyway, unless they wanted to get somebody else off the scent. But yeah, I don't think they'd do that, would they?
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'm more disappointed this season in the players and the performances, is it isn't being cobbled together by, you know, on a shoestring. These are players that have got every sort of level in terms of Division 4 expectations. They're getting them, whether it be staying in away games the day before in a hotel. They've got endless coaching staff, data-driven information. They've got people there to give them advice. They've got a bigger coaching team to work with. They're probably on more money than they'd have been on, you know, under Fenty, shall we say. Apologies for mentioning it. But that's one of the reasons why I'm more disappointed in the players this year, is that there is no one else to blame, really, apart from the manager who got sacked, and then the players on the pitch. So that level of inconsistency ultimately lays with them. Dave Artell can't take the blame. I'm a bit disappointed in his lack of pragmatism at times. You know, he plays the way he wants to play, but the players need to be a lot better than they are. And 20th in the league is not acceptable given the budget and the money they're on.
But then if we've played that argument back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, you bring in two decent centre-backs and, you know, is it all a failure? Because I think most of the players we've signed are midfielders and attackers, aren't they? Just Malarkey and Rodgers at the back, who obviously, you know, the jury's out. Business. Yeah, but I don't think there's too much of an issue with Cartwright at the minute. I think he's standard enough. I think he's performed well the last couple of months. But, you know, most of the other players are the attacking players that we didn't have last season. You know, we had just Orsi on his own for a lot of the time, and the wingers. So I get what you mean. Overall, it hasn't worked, absolutely. But I think if you just make a few tweaks and a few alterations in that, I don't think the rest of it is necessarily a shit.
No, but if you've got an inherent issue defensively, it can undermine everything you're trying to do, can't you? I think, frankly, that a lot of the players we've signed, Conte, Rose, Issa, are clearly improvements on what came before them.
I think this is a thinly veiled dig at me from my dad, who says it's always easy to spend someone else's money.
That could probably be speaking to my dad as well, yeah.
And mine.
What do we think of the rumoured outgoings, Angus? There's been a lot of chat, hasn't there, about people. And I see Grimbo in the chat said that he's heard Waterfall, apparently, to York's the latest rumour. Odd that he wasn't even on the bench yesterday, wasn't it?
Lovely city. He'll enjoy it. Yeah. Back with Lenny.
Sorry, Hannah.
No, you're all right. I think the rumours seem reasonable rumours. It'll obviously be sad to see possibly three players that were well loved in previous seasons go. But other than Amos, who I think...
Who are we talking about? Fethi, Amos and Waterfall?
Yeah. I think there would still be room for Amos. I don't think he's done too much to sort of... too much wrong, really, compared to some of the other players. But I don't know. I think it's a shame for Rafferty because he, in my eyes, he's no different to Malarkey in level. And Waterfall, yeah, he's come in, he's done amazing for us, and it is his time of life to maybe drop back down again.
He'll do a decent job at a conference side, though. His time's not done as a professional footballer. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you not think, because I still get I thought even though Wood scored and it rendered the argument somewhat redundant, I did think it was interesting that Wood came on and not Holohan again yesterday. I just get the distinct impression that is Holohan a high earner?
He came on the pitch yesterday.
Did he? Or have I got that? Have I Didn't he? Of course he did, yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine he is.
I'm talking rubbish, yeah. Forget.
And Daniel Lyon is saying Khan. I'm not bothered about that either way. He's, from what I know, he's quite an from what I've heard, he's quite a high earner, and we're not getting anything in terms of value from that really over the time he's been here. And I think that money can be better spent elsewhere. But if he gets a chance, hopefully he takes it. But
you know, he's just too inconsistent with in being in and out the squad to really, you know, make a name for himself with Town, I think.
He's also
he's not had much of a run at it, has he? He's always in and out, and not had a chance to nail it down. And I think, you know, talking about Efete, Waterfall and Amos, you know, we've spoken for weeks and how much today that our problems at defence. So, you know, you've got to get rid of these players if that's where you want to improve. And as much as I like Waterfall, his time's probably over now. Amos probably a decent option as a covering left back, but is there room for just somebody that's going to cover at left back? And Efete, I sort of made my mind up on a while ago, and I think, you know, we need to be making improvements in these areas because we've seen the problem we've got there.
Michi and Amos could go and get them, not sure about Waterfall given his age, but Michi and Amos could drop down to the conference and get themselves top end conference clubs on longer term contracts, I suspect. So it's probably in everybody's interest for them to. And also, we're saying we probably the defence isn't good enough. They're the reserve option, so we need to sign better players to kind of. You want to make Rodgers and Malarkey the reserve if they're going to be improvement.
Yeah, you kind of leapfrog it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. So,
that would then leave you with the shit reserves that aren't good enough anyway. You want to improve your reserves to be in the first teamers, yeah.
Yeah, but if the current reserves can't get in because at the moment that means they really aren't good enough because the ones.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah. But as much as I will kind of be disappointed,
Mike has never worked in retail here. He's never done any stock rotation on a shelf.
No,
I've managed a hotel for like 8 years, mate. I know.
You don't have to rotate pillars, though, do you?
As long as I will go into a period of mourning if Michi Efete leaves the football club, and also jubilation that I no longer have to sit here every week and defend his every move.
Where he goes, are you going to follow? Well, you're going to be one of these fans that follows the player.
Well, it depends where he goes, isn't it? If he goes to Bromley, I'm going to have to hate him. And you could see him signing for a club like Bromley or Barnet.
Could you imagine? Yeah, I know. I would imagine you would buy a season ticket.
Just to see Michi play every week.
Just to see Michi. I just want to be. Where do you want to sit, sir? Anywhere on the right.
But I think that doesn't make any sense because it flips round at half time. So it would be on the wrong side.
Oh, about your political persuasion.
Very funny.
That's going to be a bit hard.
Oh, the Tories are cutting him out. Who's the current minister of DCMS, Sam?
Who's what?
DMCS, Digital Media Culture Secretary.
It depends. I mean the Culture Secretary. The Culture Secretary is currently. I've forgotten. I know the sports history is. I know who the roads, but I don't know who is it. My mind's gone blank.
Need to listen there. If you don't know, it's fine. The joke's gone. It's gone. So, Mike, what were you saying?
I don't know. I think I was going to make a joke, a very, very unfair joke about Efete. You know, if you buy a ticket on the right with his positioning, you're sure that's where he's going to be. But I thought that's a bit unfair on him.
That was very good. But, you know, it's.
I've remembered who it is, but the joke's gone now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
It was never there.
The jokes haven't gone yet, Sam. We've got to wait for an election for that.
Are you going to be like, you know, basically since Hurst has gone, everyone's blamed all of the issues of the squad on Hurst signings. Are you going to be like that when you're in government? Just going to have to blame 13
I'm not working there.
14 years of, well, no, your lot, I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen Old Town Aren't We yet?
Yeah. You came over to my house.
You came
over to our house and watched it with me, with Jack. Did you not remember that? We put a podcast out on it.
Yeah, the only thing I remember about that is that you've got a toilet outside that door.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, wait a minute. Did you hear that? No? Yeah, there you go. It's more of a mud room than anything.
Sam Hannan, you had a chance to see it, yeah?
I've not seen it. I'm the only one who hasn't seen it.
I took my dad, and it was his first cinema trip since, I believe he said, 1987.
So he hasn't been to Parkway before?
He's never been to any cinema since 1987.
Which cinema did he go to then? Did he go to the one outside London Park?
I've got no idea, but in those days it was referred to as the Pictures. And he said he questioned whether there'd be an interval where he could buy ice cream.
Which is what you can still do at Louth.
Yeah, he was quite sad to know that wasn't a thing anymore.
It's amazing.
But yeah, it was a cracking documentary and well worth a watch to anyone who hasn't yet. And I think they've extended the Parkway dates till Tuesday. I think I read that earlier.
That's I really want to watch it again, Alex, because it was quite a while ago, wasn't it? I feel like I'm missing out now, not seeing it in the cinema or something.
Did you?
Maybe I should take tomorrow off work and go and see it, because let's face it, I've got top load holidays this year, haven't I? Because I'm not going to have much holiday to take in November and December.
You might as well, yeah, no problem. But, what was I going to say after that? I can't remember. It's gone. No, I'm gone, sorry.
Did you get a secret recording of it, you know, with the old style camera you used to have in the old days when you're pirating things? You know, at the cinema, and then you'd see people stand up and go to the toilet and come back. Did you have one of them?
Jack's always the... Actually, ironically, Jack would be the best person to do that, wouldn't he? Because he's quite tall, so he can at least get a good... That's why Jack's a good... He's the one that stands up halfway through. He's actually on the bottom row and they're filming it from the top, but you can still see his head. Ben Renshaw says, half time at the Pictures is brilliant. Quick pee, top up, Coke and popcorn. I assume he means Coca-Cola.
What a great night.
Top up the
So Simon says, we went yesterday for a second viewing, love it, as JP would say. Did anyone else see that Grimsby Town was on the Golden Globes yesterday? Welcome to Wrexham was on it, and they showed a bit of Ben Fox and Luke Waterfall, and Sean Pearson and I believe Danny Amos.
Was the bit of Luke Waterfall where he's running off telling Mullin to fuck off?
It wasn't, no, unfortunately. I'm really sorry to say that. But it's nice that Ben Fox, who was, by the way, congratulations to Ben and Sian, who have, you know, announced the they're expecting a child in June. I'd love him back. It's nice for him to notice that he was on the Golden Globes as well.
Ben Fox, those three playoff games changed his town legacy and his fans' perspective more than anybody else I've ever known. Before that, I'd have said he was a decent player, he was a crock. But after the kind of way he plays in all the playoff games, he's remembered this kind of forgotten hero that got away too soon.
Got such an engine on him, that lad, hasn't he? Such an engine.
Yeah, when he's fit, and he played about 20, he went to Northampton, got injured, was out for 6 months immediately.
Do you know, I saw him at the Brighton game when we played Brighton in the FA Cup. He did come along to watch that on his, and he was in a cast then.
Preaching game. Same with Otis Khan and so on. Everyone says, oh, he's unlucky with injuries. I get really frustrated with players who are out injured constantly because we're paying them to essentially sit on our treatment table for no. I mean, as much as I like to criticise, I criticise Harry Clifton quite frequently. He is always fit and always available.
Don't do it.
Don't do what, Alex?
Nothing. Don't worry. I won't do it. I won't lower myself.
What was it?
Alex, control yourself.
I'm just saying, Sam's taking that.
Sit down on that toilet for 5 minutes and calm yourself down.
Sam's just doing the normal conservative thing, going, work shy bastards. Going around, making sure that they're, you know, they're not fit to work yet or what. Sorry, Sam. I told you I wouldn't do it.
No.
Is he gone?
Who?
Oh, no, he's still moving. Tackleberry says, do you know if it's going to be streaming and released? I'd imagine it will be at some point, Tackleberry, but I'm not sure when. But I'm sure it'd be worth
it. Was, wasn't it? But
we'll have to wait until it gets out. Hopefully we can try and do something in London. Willie Boy says, scored 5, didn't win, conceded 5, didn't lose. How? They scored 5. And we scored 5. That was about it, really. I think we're getting into the talking shit part of the podcast, really. Michael Yap says, if you closed your eyes, it was like Fenty talking about injured players again. Sam wants to take the players' wages off of them when they're injured. Is that the way? Sorry.
All he has to do is call them a Fruit Loop next. You remember that when he called
Big Knot was a bit of a Fruit Loop. He brought in some incredible players, but that's because he brought every player in football in.
Wasn't he chatting to somebody who was at a car and somebody'd recorded it and put it on the internet or something?
That was a bit naughty, but it was brilliant. Yeah.
Going back to this second, I'm not saying that they shouldn't get paid. I'm just saying it's incredibly frustrating when players are always injured, chronically.
What I heard is him saying sack them and hang them. That's what he's just said.
Sam's basically going around the pitch and leaving a little passive-aggressive Reese Mogg-esque note on the place where they're meant to be on the pitch saying, sorry, I didn't see you at work today. I got this from Football Loco, which is quite nice. I had to pay for it, though. But, you know, that's quite nice. If you want them, I think they're about 30 quid.
You have one of those on my door at mum and dad's for 15 years. They're really good. It fell off. Have you noticed I'm upgraded behind me? I'm now true. I look like kind of like Bruce in the making here with all this sort of memorabilia in the background.
Aren't you both? Because haven't you painted your wall as well, Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've both got good backgrounds.
We're all trying to up our game, mate. Even Hannah's got a new jazzy chest of drawers.
I have. Yeah. Thank you for noticing.
And you're welcome.
I was just going to say, I've not had pictures of men on my wall since I was a teenager, Sam.
No, they're all Hughes now.
No, it's the wall that's in front of me that you can't see. That.
Just a picture of Ian Duncan Smith. Straddling a chair, picking his nose.
It's a picture of Lewis, actually, but given it's not town related, and basically this is a pod wall, I'm trying to portray it. I'm with my electoral map behind there.
Sam, you'll be great to know that the person who's just... we've got a new person at work who sits behind me, and she is a massive Max Verstappen and Christian Horner fan. I didn't know they existed, but they weren't Dutch anyway. No.
Is Sam an 11-year-old's bedroom? Yes, I'm still 11 parts.
It's not his, Simon. Daniel. He's right, but he's not that right.
No. I'm not even that right wing.
You're never right, I'll tell you that.
The only thing, who's on your... Okay, Sam, so who have you got on your wall then? Who's the top one? Who's the top down poster?
Down there, you've got on this side, you've got Diz, Nathan Arnold, the calendar with Clifton and Danny Rose. You then got sort of newspaper headlines from the Forest Green win, the Wrexham win and the Southampton win. And over there, you've got Luke Waterfall, Manny and Mischa Fete. And then you've got there's another thing that's coming behind me. There's going to be a big post for Jimmy Anderson in between them.
Because why not? Yeah.
Yeah, everybody loves a picture of Jimmy. I can't say anything. My wife is obsessed with Stuart Broad. Obsessed. Mm-hmm. And there is a big picture of Stuart Broad in the bathroom over here.
Do you go in the morning for your morning ablutions and just go, morning, Stuart?
Yeah, do you know what? I feel less of a man, I'll be entirely honest.
Another picture of Molly King, that over to Broadie, but that's a different matter.
Yeah, that is. Thank you very much. And we'll end it there, I believe. We've got Harrogate coming up. We never even touched on that, really. Sam's going. Hannah, did you get tickets in the end? I know they sold out.
I did, yeah.
Good. The Grimsby Town women's team, we did flash it up at the bottom. They drew with Broughton and Dunton this afternoon. Please do keep an eye out. We will do our best. We're trying to get a fixture list actually of when their games are. But I imagine the rain recently has kind of put a bit of chaos into that. So we can get an idea of that. But lastly, and most importantly, Friday, 7 o'clock kickoff at Blundell Park. Grimsby Town youth team are playing Millwall youth team. £5 for adults. It's £3 for anyone over 65, and it's £1 for under 18. So please do get down there. Not only is it an incredible achievement to get to where they have so far, and hopefully they'll go further, but you can imagine what's going on in that squad at the moment, given the tragedy. So please do get down to Blundell Park and support them as best you can. £5, £5 is absolutely nothing. Well, it's a bit more than usual in January, but you know, get down there and support them as best you can. Has anybody got anything else to add before we make our excuses and leave?
You can definitely afford the fiver given the national insurance cut that was brought in 2 weeks ago. Everybody's got more money.
He brings it on himself, doesn't he?
He does. He really does. Thank you all so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the game. Look, it was an incredible game. We'll sort out the defence. We didn't even get to talk about the massive throw that the new guy has. He looks amazing. Jordan Cropper-esque.
No, it's not Cropper-esque. It's too leapy to be Croppers.
I've already said that, but in distance it is, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Can I just point out, we was talking about this in the group, and you said, you know, it's not as good as Cropper. And Sam's like writing War and Peace about why he's not as good as Cropper. I'm like, we've just signed the lad, and your first thing is, oh, you've got a bit of a shit throw compared to Cropper.
You don't know how it could be an entirely different, it's very loopy, but it's one that comes down on people's heads, which might mean it's actually even more dangerous. You never know. Jordan Cropper wasn't naturally known for his throws before he came to Blundell Park, was he? I can't remember seeing many from before he joined town. There's quite a few after. Can you? Anyone remember seeing anything?
No, I remember him. All I remember is in the press release they put out, Hurst and like, why have you signed him? Hurst mentioned he's also got a long throw, and he mentioned it sort of pretty sort of nonchalantly, like even though he's got a long throw. Not mentioning that it was kind of like realistically his main weapon, and without it, there's no way is he a league standard player.
But you know, I've seen three of this bloke scoring so far.
Hopefully, it alleviates us of the belief that Ma has got a long throw. He's got a decent throw. He's not got a long throw.
No shit.
The only downside is if he's throwing.
Bingo.
He's not in the box, so you know we're not a particularly tall team, are we?
Sam thinks it's so loopy, he might be able to bloody run in on the end of it.
Yeah, you know
that. That'd be a foul throw, though. You can't you know, do that.
Second ball, mate.
Second ball.
I still can't wait for the first wally sit. That's offside, linesman. No, wait. This one behind me in the main stand, he was always calling for offside from a goal kick.
That's John Tonder, isn't it? there we go. Yeah, all done. Thank you all so very much for listening. We shall see you all next week. And, you know, go down on Friday and enjoy the Mariners moving into the fifth round of the FA Youth Cup. Until then, we shall see you later. Bye.
Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life running here. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got penalty here. They've been fish flying about there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece!